renovation begins. As we discussed, while doing a total renovation to a house, you must first begin with a major demolition down to its framework. All debris must be hauled away and the entire building well cleaned. There can be no trace left of the old rotten wood, stained dirty carpet, mold from an old leaky roof, or even cigarette smell from an old air conditioner. There have been times where the old smell was so bad, the property needed sterilized. Sterilizing kills everything from insects like roaches and all other creeping creatures that come out after dark to bacteria, mold, and mildew. All life is lost in that property. Only now can a true restoration process begin. God's plan for the renovation of the earth is much the same as the example of the house. The earth with all its sin is a stench in the nostrils of God and must be cleansed to its very foundation. The curse must be removed. There cannot be one speck of sin in the new earth or the new heavens. Simply not believing in all of God's pure, unadulterated word is sin. Adding or taking away one word perverts or hybrids his word, which always diminishes the power in his word. This is what opens the door to negativity, sickness, sorrow, and all other results of sin. There is not any part of God in those things whatsoever. Jesus told the parable of the kingdom of heaven being likened to a grain of mustard seed in Matthew chapter 13. A mustard seed will not mix or hybrid with any other seed. It stays in its purest form. Matthew 13, verses 31 and 32. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. There cannot be the slightest speck of unbelief or sin to contaminate this new world of perfect faith. Every speck must be cleansed from all the heavens and the earth before it could ever be a dwelling place for God and for His bride. In the last chapter, we explained by Scripture how God will accomplish this complete cleansing by the baptism of fire. All life will be lost. Satan and his demons are no longer an influence as they are cast into the lake of fire. Sin loses its power. The curse is gone. Only now can God begin Eden's restoration. God had already potentially taken up his abode, as the kingdom of God is in the earth now, since he now lives in the hearts of his saints. He is currently preparing us to leave our position on the earth so he can complete the redemption process of the earth by baptizing it with fire. The baptism of fire will cleanse the earth from all filth, fulfilling his predestinated plan perfectly. There will never be another gravesite or war, hatred, sickness, or even tears in the renovated new earth. It will be completely clean and serve as a perfect dwelling place for God and for his people. God takes his bride out of the earth to be with him while the earth is being sterilized by fire. When they come back together upon the new earth, God, his creatures, and creation will all dwell together in perfect harmony. The heavens and the earth is husband and wife, just as Christ and the church are now husband and wife. They all meet together in his perfect predestinated plan of redemption back into the heart of God. John 14 tells us that in this new earth there is a new city. John 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. The original writing states, In my Father's kingdom are many palaces. So we know the New Jerusalem is prepared in heaven. He then promises his bride that he will come again and bring her to where he is, that they can be united as one. We now have the Redeemer and the redeemed together. He knows our desires much more than we do, as he created our minds and our hearts. Who would be more qualified than the one who created us to design our dwelling place? Our very touch and taste has been divinely designed by him. It is no wonder the Apostle Paul said we have never seen or even heard the grandeur of what God has in store for the ones he loves. it must be spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Scriptures give us insight as to what we are to expect in this city. The New Jerusalem is certainly not heaven, as John saw it coming down from heaven. Revelations 21:2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This city is descending down from heaven and will be settled on the redeemed new earth. It will be the dwelling place for God. John the Baptist saw a similar event while baptizing men in the Jordan River. When Jesus came to be baptized, John saw the heavens open and the Spirit of God descend in the form of a dove on Jesus. Jesus was God's earthly tabernacle that God descended from heaven to dwell in. Jesus was the Word of God manifested on the earth, yet he was made from the elements of the earth. Although divine, his body was totally human. Realizing who he was, John said he was not worthy to baptize Jesus and needed to be baptized by him. Jesus told John that it had to be this way to fulfill all righteousness, for all sacrifices needed to be washed before slain and offered to God. Matthew 3:13-17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Some historic writings include to dwell in at the end of that scripture. Jesus being made from the dust of the earth was now the part of the earth that God redeemed by descending from heaven like a dove and settling on him. It was now going to be from this redeemed part of the earth, Jesus, that God was going to redeem the rest of the earth. This requires further explanation. God's plan of redemption was for all mankind and the earth as well. They both are redeemed with the same procedure. It was always by water first. The earth was baptized by water at Noah's flood. It was then redeemed or purchased back by Jesus' blood, just as man was. And when Jesus shed his sinless blood on Calvary for all mankind, it also spilled upon the ground, paying the redemption price for the entire earth. The third part of redemption for man is the baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire, which is God's own life dwelling in us. The third part for the earth will be at the end time with fire also, when he burns off all sin and renovates the entire planet for his dwelling place. John in Revelation saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven like a bride adorned for her husband and dwelling on the new earth. This is exactly like he did when he descended from heaven and settled on Jesus, who was God's creation, made from the earth. Jesus was the part of the earth the Holy Spirit descended upon and remained forever. It can never leave him, as he and God are one. When Jesus was crucified on the cross of Calvary, his powerful, all-sufficient blood dripped on the earth, claiming the entire world. The price of redemption was now paid with his pure blood sacrifice, and the title deed of the earth went back to its original owner. God claimed his original creation of planet Earth, including every man and woman created from the earth who received his blood atonement by faith. Now, because of Calvary, every person who is represented in eternity is redeemed through their new birth. By being born again, one is made a new creation through the Holy Ghost baptism and fire. Jesus, having the created holy blood of God, the eternal life of God, was the beginning of the creation of God. God's eternal life was injected into his creation, Jesus, in the womb of a woman, which was made from part of the earth. Hebrews 10:5-6. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Our soul is part of God and came from God, housed in a body here on earth. The soul has been redeemed by God's redemptive process of being born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. We are God's tabernacle on earth now. The body still needs redeemed and is in the process. When the complete redemption of the earth, being cleansed by fire, will be ushered in, the earth will be the dwelling place for Christ and His bride. Those that have been baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, Jesus is the beginning of the creation of God. Revelation 3:14. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. We are created from the same earth Jesus was created from. God redeemed Jesus and the part of the earth He was created from. He is calling His genuine believers and claiming them with His redemptive blood. When He completes His predestinated plan of the redemption of the earth, we must be redeemed with it, as we are one with Him and the redeemed earth. The eternal dwelling place for Christ and His bride is the New Jerusalem.